Everybody, welcome back to my Subaru, and it is good to be back with you. I am sitting here in the Scotts Valley High School parking lot as it is beginning to drizzle. And last week or the week before, I can't remember, but I had asked you to send me any questions. There is no question that is too simple. There's no question that is too hostile. And I was overwhelmed in my inbox with one question. So I will give you another chance to send me some more questions, but I will say this, the one question that I got is absolutely brilliant. In fact, it is going to take us some time to answer this question. Here's the question. What are some practices to help my unbelief? What are some practices to help my unbelief? That is a beautiful word. It's an old word. We don't use it a lot, but the word practice is referring to what some call today spiritual disciplines. For centuries, Christians have called them practices. For example, the practice of solitude and silence. The practice of scripture reading. Not just reading the Bible, but reading the scripture in a way that changes us. The practice of prayer. And there's all kinds of different ways to pray. But essentially, a practice is a discipline. Today, I took my son down to push him a little in some basketball because he wants to practice. And he's preparing himself for the real thing, in a sense. The difference for you and I is we practice the spiritual disciplines as we develop habits in our life. They aren't necessarily preparing us for the real thing because they are the real thing. But at the same time, they are preparing us. There were many Christians, I imagine, who were completely caught off guard by this whole pandemic, sheltering in place, not being able to go to church, maybe losing their job or having to work from home. And it threw them for a loop. And it may have been because they were just not prepared. They had different expectations. They had different assumptions about the Christian life. And so they're having to readjust those expectations and those assumptions and learn to live in Christ no matter what the circumstances are. And so it's a beautiful question because we all struggle with unbelief at times. I remember one of the best prayers by the disciples was, Lord, we believe, help our unbelief. But I love the second part of this question. It clarifies where the struggle is. Listen to this. It says, the hardest part is living like I'm loved. The hardest part is living like I'm loved. I've shared before how for years I lived as a Christian where I knew God loved me, but I didn't necessarily live loved. I lived with a sense of I got to earn, I got to perform, I've got to be good enough. And so because of that, there tended to be a persistent and constant sense of shame and of guilt in my life. And I probably shared the story how I was in the Central Valley at a Jamba Juice looking at their motto that said, live life healthy. And it hit me all at once. That is my motto for life. That is the motto of the Christian life, to live life loved. Ephesians chapter 5 has a beautiful example of this principle where it says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. As beloved children. So you notice it doesn't flip that around. It doesn't say, be imitators of God and then you will be loved by God. No, you are invited to be imitators of God, to live like Jesus lived, because you're loved, not to be loved, but because you are loved already. And so we're going to take some time to unpack this and talk about some of the spiritual disciplines or the practices that will help us move God's truth from here in our head to down here in our hearts. And it works itself out in our lives. So as part of laying foundation, I want to tell you a story. And then I'll tell you why I'm telling you the story. Years ago, when my oldest son, about to be 25 years old, was 10 months old, we moved to Africa. And our flight from San Francisco to LA was delayed. And so we got there late and missed our connecting flight, which would have taken us to Europe and then to Africa. And I'll never forget, because we were moving there for 27 months. We were like, oh, well, no big deal. So we're delayed. But there was another family that were just absolutely irate. They were arguing and they were demanding. They were upset, and we just kind of sat back. Eventually, the counter guy noticed us and he approached us. And long story short, we approached our trip to Africa very differently than this other family. They were on a time crunch. Delays were not welcome. They wanted to get there. They had a destination in mind. While we also had a destination, we also understood that, you know what? The journey has just begun. And so this delay is not a big deal to us. Let me give you an example. The difference between us and them was that they were treating this trip like tourists. They had an agenda. They had a destination. And so anything that shifted, anything that changed was cause for anxiety and anger and frustration. Whereas we were approaching this trip more like an explorer. See, there's a difference between a tourist and an explorer. See, a tourist longs for safety, whereas an explorer lives with only the assurance that God will not leave us nor forsake us. A tourist wants predictability. They have an itinerary, and so they want to be A, B, C, D, 1, 2, 3. They don't want anything to change or be altered. And so an explorer, though, lives with a level of flexibility and unpredictability. In fact, for the explorer, the process is part of the adventure, part of the fun. The delays are not interruptions. They're actually opportunities. A tourist longs for comfort, whereas an explorer lives with a longing for more. A tourist wants control, but an explorer knows that they can only give up control and only control how they respond to situations. So, where would you fall in your Christian walk, in your faith? Do you tend to lean more towards the tourist, where you want predictability, comfort, safety, control? Or the explorer, where you live with a deep longing for more? And there's a certain amount of unpredictability, but there's just a longing for more. And do you live with an assurance and a dependence upon the promises of God instead of trying to figure everything out and plan everything out and live with this high sense of predictability? So as we go on in this new series, we'll call it Living Life Loved. Living Life Loved. Start with developing a mindset of an explorer and let go of the mindset of being a tourist. God bless you guys, and I'm looking forward to this journey as we learn to live life loved. May the peace of God that passes all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. See you next time.